Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Deep Thoughts. I'm only doing this episode because probably I can say now over half a dozen of you have asked me to address a situation. And the only thing I can think of is obviously we have a commonality between how we think, and no one's covering this, right? The fake press doesn't really cover real issues. I have been debating on what to call the episode. I'm not going to put a number on it, so it's going to be a special report. If and when we get rid of these folks, this shouldn't be a permanent stain on this show. But I'm going to call it Elite Pedophilia. And I'm going to keep the word elite in there, because I think it gets at who these people think they are. Now, obviously, there's plenty of creeps and pedophiles and creepers, as they say, that have nothing to do with any group of people. They're not politicians, they're not royalty, they're not bankers, they're just the scumbag that lives down the street. But it's a super complex issue for some folks. The problem with this episode for me is that I don't understand these people that well. I mean, this show is based on me understanding an emotion, so it's hard to crawl into the mind of these folks. And, you know, quite frankly, fortunately, some of them have shared why they did what they did. And so we can kind of understand. And the only reoccurring excuse that I've ever heard is the way the brain gets misaligned is through something that happened to them when they were young. Whether they desired something and never got it, or they got it and they liked it. The folks that do it because they say they love the children, something went wrong. Now, of course, there's the other group that does it just because it's fun. And then there, I guess there's another group that does it because they enjoy the torture. To be able to give another human being pain, which must be some power trip for them. And then there's that weird symbol that goes in between it all, which is taboo. There's got to be a bunch of them that do it because it's taboo. I get to do something no one else gets to do. But the catalyst for this show is not, hey, do a bunch of, like, I haven't had a bunch of requests for anyone talking about pedophilia. What they've said is, get into Pizzagate. We'll call this Elite Pedophilia, that way they're isn't a keyword that says Pizzagate that could stop this video from existing or stop this video from getting distributed within various outlets. But you know I'm giving up probably 10,000 views on this thing by not pandering to that technique. We'll put it in the description perhaps. Pedophilia is weird because I don't think there's a healthy adult out there that really wants to explore this unless they have law enforcement jobs, psychology jobs. They just don't want to get into it unless they're trying to fix the problem. We have surveillance agencies now, right, that break the Fourth Amendment, that violate every single base element of human decency by spying. And they see all these people. They see the pedophiles with their private servers, private internet servers, where they're serving up all kinds of content, discussing it with each other, doing, you know, human trafficking, working out whatever it is they do, right? I once asked a buddy of mine who was in the NSA, I shouldn't say buddy, I should say acquaintance, how they can get young kids to allow evil stuff to continue. We were not remotely close to the conversation of pedophilia, but now when I really recall what he said, it appealed to this argument of, you know, most of us think, how could you? Even the most barbaric, feral prison inmates who have seemingly no capability of controlling themselves overwhelmingly agree that children are off limits. And one level, that's encouraging. But what my friend said was, he was brilliant. He just looked at me and he said, tradition. Tradition is how evil shit continues forever. Because, think about it. If you were to step on the grounds of Cambridge University or the Vatican, and you think to yourself, this entire institution needs to go down, especially the Vatican, it needs to go down. It harbors pedophiles. It conceals pedophilia. It moves them around. It never addresses it publicly. The whole place needs to come down and disappear. The people should burn it to the fucking ground. But it's bigger than you. You walk in there and the architecture is, you know, 1,500 years old. And you're nothing to it. It is the epitome of inertia. Whatever is, stays. And if they figured out a bunch of ways to write fake religion passages to make it okay to rape girls and rape boys, and, you know, there's a bunch of passages out there in a couple books that were written back in the time of the church's formation, and it's nuts. So when you get into an intelligence agency, and here you are, a private consultant like Snowden, and you can easily find all the creeps in the world, and you try to report it up, and someone just looks at you and goes, no, that's the way it's always been, kid. For all we know, the intelligence agencies were created by pedophiles whose prime objective was to get their hands and their mitts on children. And then as they, you know, developed tools to do so, it became interesting and powerful for the government to use to spy on each other. But in the end, it was all about children. But let's address and break down Pizzagate real quickly, because the information on it was sabotaged, I think, extremely quickly. For those of you who've never heard of it, which I doubt that's many of you, but if you haven't, we've essentially caught John Podesta, Hillary Clinton's campaign advisor, in a WikiLeaks bundle, essentially attending a party with a bunch of other pedophiles. Let's just keep it real. And they have code words for children in communications. And they use food items as references for children. I believe the designation goes the following, but I could be wrong, but there's like a teenage boy girl, and then there's below 10 boy girl. And who knows how far down these sickos go. You have to assume that especially these elite, these truly John Podesta guys, these wormy motherfuckers who have tried to debunk their own thing, will stop at nothing. There is no limit. You know, you could have a child just exit its mother and he's all worked up to have sex with it. If that sounds atrocious, well, don't get mad at me. Get mad at the fact that your news doesn't report any of this shit. Be happy that your president is covertly figuring out a way to put all these motherfuckers down. And do what you can to expose it. But John Podesta was attending a party. And, you know, it's hard to tell how many people were going to be attending the party. But it appeared within conservative limits it was going to be 50 to 100 people. And then he's confirming what food is going to be served in coded email. And he's ordering hot dogs, which I believe are older boys, pizza slices, which are older girls. And then the two young designation was cheese pizza for little girl and hamburger for little boy. I could have those designations wrong. I'm not sure anyone really knows. But what ends up happening is when you count what appears to be a catering order for 50 to 100 people, elite people, by the way, who don't eat any of this shit food, right? They're ordering children. Because the amount of food doesn't match remotely the amount of people. Less than half. If it's 50 people, it's less than half. It's like 21 items or something, or maybe not even that. I mean, it was a ridiculous situation to assert that it was food. A little trick happened, because it got coined Pizzagate very, very quickly. And the intelligence agency, who is corrupt, and assisting the concealment of these people, which is definitely the Obama administration, Obama himself. I would imagine Comey's involved on some level. He may hate this, but he has been pressured or whatever to keep a closed, to keep his mouth closed. But I mean, again, if it's children suffering and you're protecting your career over your children suffering, you're aiding and abetting after the fact. You're just as criminal as anybody. They realized that Pizzagate became a hashtag and a keyword all over the internet. And so the intelligence agency, they cooked up the only thing they could do to kill the keyword, which is to create a cover story of complete horseshit about an actual pizza parlor with some child trafficking thing in the back room. You know, just took out a page right out of some shitty movie. And, you know, I'm sure those places exist. Don't get me wrong. But they pick a place that's clean and they put this cover story out, this disinfo story out. Then John Podesta himself goes up to stay on stage and recalls the fake story. And then they usurp the word Pizzagate with this fake story. So that technically makes sense to, you know, historians that, you know, can't think for themselves. And almost overnight, poof, it was gone. Social media, Twitter, Facebook, started blocking and screwing with anyone who was breaking the story. If you linked articles to it on Facebook, they could take your account down, get rid of your posts. But if nothing else, they simply remove it from circulation. One of the more clever inventions that yours truly came up with way back in the day was that when internet chat came up on sites, we tried to write the best filters on planet Earth. I wrote a pretty damn good filter figuring out how people could misspell cuss words and stuff. I was trying to find out, you know, which phrases were bad. I was going to block it from chat. I kept blocking these users at first. My first coding technique was to block. Well, that just pissed them off. They created another account, and they find another way. So I never got rid of the griefer. And then I just had the epiphany one night, and I said, you know what I'm going to do is as soon as that I feel them being rude, I'm simply going to show them the text in the chat, but no one else will see it. So they think they're actually saying all these dirty words in front of little children. And no one's ever going to see it. And they're never going to create another account because they're not going to know that people are just ignoring him. Man, it was brilliant. It was the solution. So that's the solution that social media has used against us if we happen to report some of this stuff. But this rabbit hole goes all over the place, right? There's so much pedophilia, child kidnapping, child murdering, child torturing in this world. It's something that we as a people from every single country in the world is going to have to rise up against. Otherwise, it's going to be really hard to extinguish this fire. Now, I debate with myself, should I even attempt to get into the psychological stuff you kind of already know about where it starts? The only reason why I would ever go down this road of discussion would be if I thought that there's something that we needed to know that we didn't already know that could help. I think the most devious kind of person is the person that was treated well as a child, and for whatever reason, they're just that fucking guy. You know, they're just the guy that turned into a weasel. And typically that means they're fairly lazy at life, and so they want to cut corners to make life interesting. You know, it's like instead of working hard, they want to steal it from you. They could work hard. They're not dumb. In fact, they're really clever about stealing. It's that kind of wormy fucker that just kind of makes I don't know if it's a personal challenge with themselves to do something taboo. I don't know. So when that kind of person's caught, it's one of these situations where you put them right there on the prison grounds floor with all the other people. You just let them eat them alive. And then there's the poor kid who was abused himself, right? You know, I don't usually share people's personal stories if they're really intense, but I haven't seen this kid since I was 12, so I guess I'm all right, and I won't mention him by name by any means. I had a friend as a kid. I'll leave the years of how old we were, but it was definitely pre-teenage years. And there was a day where, you know, when you're, when you're young, you just hang out and you do anything, you ride your motorcycles, whatever. But this kid was from out of town. And at one point, he's messing around, and he suggested for a split second a sexual act between the two of us. You know, my mind's like, I can't even conceive of it. I'm like, what? And the funny thing was, my brain said, where did you learn that? I mean, we'd all seen nude magazines and shit like that for sure. But I said, where did you learn that? And he said, my dad showed me. And, you know, I'm young, and my mind is reflecting back on my relationship with my parents and what he just said and what he just suggested, which at first was so nonsensical to my brain, there wasn't really a, you know, a darkness to it. It was more like, oh, that's fucking weird, man. But as I got older and processed this each decade that I would recall this moment in my life, this kid who, you know, seemed happy, but he was definitely, I think, going down the path of homosexuality. I doubt he was suffering from a genetic code issue and his father was molesting him. Who knows if he's even alive today? And, you know, he was living with his mom at the time. His father was at the other location, so he was no longer living with his dad. But he had this connection with his old man, and he was always looking to get back to his dad. And I'm sitting there thinking, Jesus. You know, when I was a kid, and if you sat in your backyard and you heard a child at home crying because it's a baby, and you know it's being watched by some older relatives that are retired or whatever, you didn't think about it twice. It's a young baby. Babies cry. I'm sitting here right now in my backyard, and the house behind my house has a baby that's home with its elders, and it's crying a cry of insane, intense levels from time to time. It was doing it just a second ago. Just constant wailing. And you have no idea whether or not in today's era, if that child is crying simply because it's having a tired spell or whatever, or if something's happening to the child. And that's the world we live in today. My morality episode gets into this conditioning of humanity that probably should be mentioned here. A lot of pedophiles that I have heard that get caught, when we rewind the history of their life and how they end up becoming that way, for those that are, gracious enough to share their psychosis and the development of their craziness, a lot of them did have fairly normal lives, and some of them became famous or wealthy or whatever. They were so good looking, they could always have what they wanted, and then that wasn't enough. And then they switched teams. That wasn't enough. And, you know, I will tell you that, in my opinion, just riffing here, when you become attracted to the taboo, I think that's probably the gateway turn in your mind where you can do not only yourself amazing harm, but others amazing harm. Consenting adults amazing harm, and obviously anyone else on planet Earth, including obviously children. It would seem that the internet has almost demystified every form of sex that could possibly exist out there. But I guess taboo has a line, doesn't it? Sex has a taboo line, which basically says, on your side of the line, this is what you've experienced, and on that side of the line is the stuff you haven't experienced. And taboo is a curiosity killed the cat thing, right? I guess it's something that you feel like you got to do if you're into that kind of thing. And there's no limit. You know, there's just no point where you go, I'm done. It's like sex becomes a drug. And obviously, whoever created our design understood that the things that make you procreate should feel really good. You should be drawn to it. So even as a hominid with a one IQ, there's soft spots and it feels good and blah, blah, blah. A lot of the addiction problems that we have are based on, quite frankly, orifice addictions. Isn't that weird? We eat because there's a pleasure zone up here. You put a Q-tip in your ear. I don't know about you, man, but that feels good. Take a leak. Feels good. Go the other way. Feels good. Have sex. Feels good, right? There's something weird about all of our openings, you know? No one ever says it. So there you go. But these weird obsessions, you know, I mean, here's my concern with the world right now. And I don't think it's any death spiral or doom phrase, so please don't construe it like that. In fact, I think that we have a chance now to reclaim the land of morality in this place. And you know, if you look through history, we've had these immoral, quote-unquote, episodes in life where the productivity of society goes down, the exploitation of humanity goes up at the same exact time, and so we have these really dark moments in our history. Sure, if you're the guy on top of the pile, you're feeling great, but if you're the guy on the bottom of the pile, especially if you're a child, you're not thinking this is that great. And it's that one adult that messes with the child, and doesn't have to be necessarily sex, but obviously that'd be the worst thing. You are creating a corrupted child, a broken child that now has everything upside down, like my friend. So this social justice warrior shit that's going on, the European Union and all of its followers, all right? The people that say that, you know, just keep immigrating, it'll be okay. They haven't seen the guy with the gumball example on the internet and talking about poverty. Doesn't matter how many of these fucking radical people create mass murders in the world, it's okay. Doesn't matter how many people that they rape, it's okay. Children that they grope, wives that they kill, children that they have sex with, it's all okay. Think about George Soros. That guy has consumed the blood of a child, I guarantee you. He is one of those guys, and we'll get into that. And I covered a lot of this in my Satan episode. If he can produce a television show that HBO will put out that normalizes deviant behavior, like pedophilia was essentially in Rome, the show Rome that HBO put out, because children were being offered as prostitutes to one of the main characters. And then there was this insinuation that Caesar was having sex with his nephew when he was actually having a seizure in the back room. But you had a cook that didn't know that that was the case, so she thought it was pedophilia, and she shrugged her shoulders. Every time they take off, you know, a little bit of the sharpness off the blade, that should be an immediate reaction to, no, we've selected as human beings to protect children. Every time that happens, things get worse, right? Many people have covered the fact that the immigrants coming into Europe, some of them have 13-year-old daughters. 13-year-old wives. And it's okay. They rape because they just want to, and that's okay. Sometimes they rape and murder. That's okay. They can chase down and murder a homosexual. That's okay. There was a lady that traversed Eurasia, the Middle East, and she was a big proponent for accepting the immigrants into Europe. I forgot her name, but we posted it on one of the Facebook pages out there. But she was raped and murdered while crossing the Middle East. I think that's fucking hilarious. Stupidity was just ironically turned into her method of death. Just ignorance on a level that is hard to fucking fathom. So let's talk about three different levels of pedophilia that we need to keep our eyes open for. And the thing is they're so good at hiding, and we don't want to look at it in the first place. They sort of get a pass by design, right? We're not out there searching on this stuff. I mean, imagine this. You would go into Google and you could search on whatever keywords would bring up pedophilia or child porn or whatever. Well, the second you search on that, you're kind of immortalized as a person who would search on such a thing. So we don't, because we're normal people. The people that do it know not to search out there. They probably go in some darknet thing, probably way beyond the Tor browser, for those low-level people that would sit in your neighborhood. So you have a bunch of covert, sort of sleeper cell pedophilia people at the low-level neighborhood level across all Western countries, for sure. All right? They're the ones that get caught. They're the ones that get hauled out in front of the population to make us think that our intelligence agencies are remotely doing their job to protect us. And that, I'm going to tell you, is the smokescreen for the John Podestas to continue doing what they do. The next level up are your police, law enforcement type individuals, your sort of entry-level surveillance people. Pick any three-letter acronym surveillance. There's a tiny, tiny sliver of folks in those organizations, probably, if they exist, way up at the top, who are able to, who knows, maybe in seizing someone else's stuff at the low level where the bust happens, they simply take the stuff home and have their fun, their jollies, right? Then there, within those first two layers, there are probably folks that merely look. They've got the magazines, they've got the images, they've got the movies or whatever. This is just my mind aggregating all the busts that I've ever heard. And then you have the more elite of that group, which actually goes out and captures kids. There's a whole Netflix special on this about a kid that was kidnapped in 82. And I forget the kid's name, but it was legendary. They thought he was murdered, and he ended up showing up 20 years later and told his mom, yeah, I've been tortured this entire time in remote homes around the United States of America. I'm actually okay now. I'm gay now, by the way, and I've got a boyfriend, and he and I are okay. But I don't want to be in the public eye because there's nothing I'm going to gain from that. And I believe it's true because the mother herself was the one that said she had him knock on the door. Some of you are going to know this kid's name. I forgot it. So there's a small group that actually gets a hold of the kids at those first two levels. Just thinking about it, think about the liability of holding another child in your possession. You can't just keep them in some closet in your house. At some point, the pipes are going to burst, the electricity is going to go out, some maintenance guy is going to need to install cable, and what are you going to do? Someone's going to have to take on a huge responsibility to do that. So that's why I say it's the upper level people who've got money to just throw away at these things, hiring these other fucking weirdos to put a cabin in the woods, right? Then we move up a notch to your John Podestas, people with power. Again, wormy fuckers that do whatever it takes to get power. Now, I don't know if he is a brilliant man. I would assume he's got some accolades that are very valuable to people, otherwise he wouldn't get where he is. So on one level, he must be fairly decorated IQ-wise. And perhaps that is the common denominator of all the folks that do this. But they also have a physical trait, typically, where they're wormy fuckers. They can't go out and get your Claudia Schiffers and your whatever. So they're Cindy Crawfords, whatever. Some can. We've had famous actors. You know, was it the guy from Star Trek, the movie, who was in I don't want to mention the sitcom name because I might get it wrong. Some family sitcom on some religious channel. And, you know, he was the guy that went out and exposed himself to girls a couple times. Never had sex with them, never tried. As far as I remember, just he was a flasher. And he got flashed when he was a kid by a babysitter, so he thought a girl would like it if he flashed her. But once you have some power and you've got some fuck you money, then you can start a syndicate. You could. You'd have that much money. And if you hate your life, if you hate looking in the mirror, you really don't like your job, but you know, you get some prestige when you go out there. Honestly, John Podesta, that fucking guy could come all over Huntington Beach and no one would know. I mean, virtually no one would know who he is. So can you imagine when he goes home and he wants to be called Skippy as he tortures a kid in a shower? Makes sense to me. It's his faux little world. Look how important I am. So the next level up are your Lolita Island situations, right? A remote set of islands bought by the guy that creates the home shopping network. He invites politicians, he invites CEOs, and he says, look, you can come to my island and have sex with whatever age child you want. I'm going to videotape it because I don't want you to come after me, but you can have all you can eat, man. Bill Clinton does it, right? Bill Clinton flies there, what, nearly 30 times, leaves behind the Secret Service 5 to 6 times, shows up at parties with girls under his arms and says it's his nieces. Hillary Clinton goes a few times. God knows what the hell she was doing there. I've bumped into a couple times some ex-soldiers that have dedicated their lives to rescuing kids that have been kidnapped, that are inside child trafficking situations. And at first I was like, man, you're a hero. This is fantastic what you're doing. Now, it's not that they're not heroes, but they have to work through the State Department to get permission to go capture these kids. Anytime you centralize the authority to bust a corrupt organization, as long as someone who is in the corrupt organization is in those central points of intelligence, they can steer these guys away from syndicates that serve John Podesta. Right? Oh yeah, you can go to Tijuana and grab that kid. That's an a la carte thing. That kid and that person who has that kid is not operating within the authorized, you know, arteries that our politicians and our bankers and our royalty of the world operate. What's really strange is that in the last 6 months of my life, well, let's put it this way, up until the last 6 months of my life, maybe it's 10 months now, but I had rarely met anyone that claimed that they had been sexually molested. Ever. As this show has taken off, and as I've just randomly met some people, the amount of people that have told me that they have suffered from this, it's been 1 in 3. Absolutely amazing. Now, the good news is that a lot of these folks that have said this to me have recovered from this, and it doesn't haunt them to this day, but some folks, it still does. You know, there has to be a moment when you have been dominated by an adult that it permanently messes with your ability to feel strong and not vulnerable to others. Now, a lot of us dudes, we bullshit ourselves, I think, a little bit of how invulnerable that we really are. But I will say that, you know, it doesn't matter if the next thing, that the next obstacle that you fight is capable of just squashing you. As long as you're smart and try to avoid the obstacle, if you're forced to deal with it, why not go out with a fearless heart as opposed to one of terror? Now, the other problem about this whole child trafficking thing is that a lot of the stories are through other people, of course. You know, Alex Jones about 10 years ago was really into this discovery, and he was interviewing people, and he has talked to some police officers that have dealt with things that would blow your mind. In one case, a guy was caught, I think, in the Boston area, and he was sweating profusely. The cops said, you know, let me check your car out. You seem really nervous. He was in an old station wagon, which don't even make anymore. And I guess in the back, filled to the brim, were child pornography magazines, a bunch of child porn stuff. And so they hauled the guy into the police station locally there, and the guy made a phone call, and the State Department released him. And of course, you know, everyone will go, well, that's because they were doing a sting. They had to release him. It's like, fuck that guy. He's off duty now, you know? I guess they probably can, you know, captured the pornography, but I mean, honestly, that pornography, if there's anyone in that police precinct who's also a pedophile, now they have a station wagon full of it, and it just starts making, or maybe if somebody's never even thought about having an attraction to that material, now they're looking at it, and they get off, and they steal a magazine or two, and now they're fucked. I'm hoping it doesn't spread that easily. You know, I'm hoping that there's no attraction to it for people. And I think it probably is very difficult to spread. But if someone put a gun to my head and said, do you think pedophilia is growing or shrinking? I'd probably say growing. At whatever rate it's growing. Until our surveillance system is used to put these guys down. And hey, what's funny about it is they're trying to get approval for breaking the Fourth Amendment by chasing fake terrorism. And if they were to just simply to turn their eyes on putting away all the pedophiles of the world, people would cheer their surveillance and Fourth Amendment violations. But the problem is too many people work for those organizations are part of the ring. So you'd have a bunch of low-level whistleblowers doing it. And then once they're cleared out, who guarantees that the next batch won't get into it? And say, oh, you know, we caught the other guys using techniques A, B, and C. So we just have to use PDQ to hide our stuff. No one will ever find us, right? But then you get to the super sickos that David Icke has been talking about for years, and he's just one of them. You're Jimmy Savile's. Jimmy Savile in the UK was like our Captain Kangaroo. Except he was a pedophile. And the sad part is he got to live his entire life a pedophile, using his show as a mechanism to get a hold of kids. He never saw justice his whole life. And that's his reward for peddling children to the royal family of England, as it's reported. It's pretty goddamn conclusive. The Prime Minister of England was given minimum a 500-page dossier on how Jimmy Savile supplied politicians and royal family members with children. And he wouldn't reveal the names, he wouldn't reveal the evidence, because he claimed that it would, you know, cause problems for national security. He failed to remind you that it's still legal in England to press charges against anyone with the last name Saxe-Gothberg, a.k.a. Windsor. It's illegal. Can't do it. They could be raping your child at a podium, and there's nothing you can do about it. Besides go full vigilante, right? But the deepest, darkest side of pedophilia goes to an extreme that is difficult for the human mind to fathom. Something I talked about in the Satan episode. And that is the intentional murdering of a child to conduct a ritual that is believed to yield a fountain of youth to those who participate. And because they don't really have research programs at colleges to figure out if this works, we don't know if they're doing something that actually works for them through these egregious, horrible means. But this is the way it goes, and I understand if you want to divert your ears. They get a child supplied by one of these Jimmy Savile motherfuckers or these John Podestas of the world, and they torture them. In the ritual, terrify them, as John Podesta did with the little boy in the shower. At least it seems that was him. Yelling, the video, if you haven't seen, is John Podesta apparently torturing a child in a large shower, it looked like, with, you know, these smoked wall, shower walls, but you could throw stuff over it. And it had, like, weird strobe lights going on, and there's a child, there's a boy in there screaming, and he's screaming away. If you're a parent, you know that a child never screams like this for any reason whatsoever. Not in any protest, following a rule, hunger, or sleep. It never happens. But this voice that sounds just like John Podesta screaming at the child, they call him Skippy. John Podesta's brother's nickname for him is Skippy. John Podesta's nickname is Skippy. So the coincidence that it sounds just like Podesta and this voice is telling this child to call him Skippy. You can't see the character in the video. For me, it's just enough information, especially with the WikiLeak and the Pizzagate all combined. For me, it seems like a slam dunk. It tells me that someone is trying to leak this shit out. This video was pulled out of some surveillance data bank off a telephone. But anyway, back to the horrible ritual. The idea is that you take the blood of a child and you terrify them and you get the adrenaline flowing in their blood. Then you murder them. And you siphon their blood out. And who fucking knows if they actually have the decency to put an end to their life in the middle of this before they start the final part of the ritual. But they bleed them into a goblet or goblets. And they pass this stuff around a party. And people drink it. And they get high off the adrenaline. And according to some folks that have defected out of these parties, namelessly so, they said they believe that drinking the blood of a child makes them younger. It fixes them. And you might think that that's so insane, it can't be true. But remember the whole thing in Africa. As men caught AIDS over there, they were told that having sex with a child, with a baby, was going to cure them of AIDS. And so there was this huge outbreak of rapes of babies. So when you're desperate, who knows what the hell you'll believe? How many people do you know who hit their 40s and they're already shitting their pants because they're getting wrinkles on their face, running off to get, you know, barbaric surgeries on their bodies to preserve this 20-year-old, you know, icon in their mind? You're telling me that an elite person in their 60s who's contemplating death, who is told that this ritual will not only get you into the Rotary Club of all evil motherfuckers on planet Earth, it also will heal you. And here's the sickest part of the whole question. What if it worked? Then you would have this stampede at that elite monarch level to conduct a ritual as often as possible. In fact, you might even be a dick and do it in your backyard because, you know, you thought it worked for you. Maybe it's psychosomatic. But think about it. It's tough for me to push the words out of my mouth right now to recall these rituals. Again, Prince in his Black album, he had a song, I forgot what the hell the name was, but he talked about being at these parties, killing a squirrel and drinking squirrel blood, and how it made him real high, and how it made his aphrodisiac, it acted like an aphrodisiac on him, made him horny. And the Black Album was this weird thing he created, and then it wasn't released, right? And for a long, long time. So now let's think about it. You have all these pedophiles at all different levels. And by the way, we need to remind you that there was, I believe, seven to 12 infant child bodies dug up in the backgrounds of the King and Queen of Norway. And the whole thing was swept under the rug, which is why that guy tried to kill them with his car a few years back, screaming, they're killing our children. So somebody knows that the King and Queen of Norway was one of the big, big sacrificial partiers of the world. And this is, you know, if you watch Alex Jones religiously, this is nothing new. And again, it's fairly well sourced in the world. It's not just that guy. But now, let's go back to the pop culture of wherever you live. There are movies. There are television shows. There are these amazing, you know, television shows where it's a pay service. And they're trying to wear you down morally. They're trying to get you to the next level. From wherever you are, you need to get to the next level of perversion as quickly as possible. Because we know that as soon as you get done with that level of perversion, they've got the next level of perversion ready. And it just keeps going and keeps going and keeps going. And unfortunately, society had kind of gone through this seemingly infinite times up to about the 20th century. And then America had definitely managed to create a wonderful, sweet country with very moral people that would do anything for you. They hadn't conceived of all these 9/11s before, which is why when you look back on all the old movies in America from about, 1930 up, everyone's jovial. They're, the level of what could go wrong is almost humorous today when you see a gangster movie in the 30s. The dialogue that goes back and forth to rationalize a crime. There's a lot of honor in the crime management. There's a code that you do this and you don't do that. Right? But we eroded that through war. World War II changed a bunch of men. The Korean War changed a bunch of men. Vietnam changed a bunch of men. Really messed with some brains. But I can tell you, living through the 70s and 80s, even though men had seen things and there was a lot of PTSD undiagnosed all over the United States, you still had man being sweet to men. Like when I meet all these rockers from the 80s, the real guys who made all the platinum albums, they have a hard time conceiving of conspiracies because they're such good people. And so their wives and so, their best buddies. It was an era that somehow died in the 90s. I mean, the 90s really invented the game of how hard can you be, right? But pop culture is supposed to demoralize you. That's the goal of it. Katy Perry. What a fucking twat this chick is. Her parents live down here in Orange County, or at least did. They went to the Crystal Cathedral down here, this big religious outfit, and she was supposedly super pro-Christian and actually supposedly dumps Russell Brand because he's too fringy. And her first big hit was I Kissed a Girl and I Liked It. I can't imagine walking in my daughter's room, at 10 years old and she's singing that fucking song. I would have failed as a parent. Pop culture's mixed, The Bad Santa movie. So you take Santa, a child franchise reserved for children, and you mix it with the most sexually deviant behavior on planet Earth. And if you've ever seen the uncensored version of that movie, your jaw will hit the ground. But the interesting thing that I think could play into this transformation of your addictions from the past to the way it is today is that when we were young, I shouldn't even say it that way, in the 80s, you didn't have cell phones, right? If you left your house, you weren't by a phone. Tough shit. The world went on. As a matter of fact, I think the experiences were a lot richer back in those days. If you were on the phone and someone called you, it just had a busy signal. Tough shit, I'm on the phone. Leave me alone. If the phone rang and you weren't there, most of us didn't have answering machines. It just rang. And shit, you didn't get a hold of me. And the world went on. We got bored every once in a while, and when we got bored, we picked up guitars, we picked up paintbrushes, we went to a keyboard, we went outside, we played in a park. Today, all of the low-hanging fruit, right, all the Pokemon shit that you could possibly do gets eaten up within seconds. And then at some point when you cross a certain age, which is different for everyone, sex is the alternative. And, when you're young, I don't care how you get into it, there's a taboo feeling when you get into it. And you could be watching the most missionary stuff on planet Earth, but it'll be taboo to you. And then you get addicted to the taboo feeling. And then you untaboo the taboo that you had. And you ratchet it up and you ratchet it up until the point you're fucked in the head. If you read Huxley's Brave New World, I believe the book was written in 1938. The book is, mind-blowing at the end. shit, it's mind blowing in the middle of how children, you know, are encouraged to have sex and take a drug every morning and just be absolutely fucking doped out of their mind and just, you know, perverted. And his claim to fame was that he was allowed to go through the elite's designs for the world for the next 300 years or whatever, for a couple of years, and he wrote this book to kind of show people where they wanted to be. And for 38, it was like science fiction, man. And here we are in a surveillance state, and we can't find every pedophile on planet Earth within a day. You know how this world works. You don't even have to have evidence anymore. You just have to have an accusation, and then someone's fucking guilty. We got a president of the United States in America here, and shit, you got a whole gob of people who are accusing him of crimes and failing and wanting him to fail, which means they want the country to fail. They actually wake up every day going, I hope America turns into shit for 4 years so we can put our person in there, our John Podesta person in there. If you were supporting Hillary Clinton, then you were supporting John Podesta. John Pedophile Podesta. And he is just the tip of the iceberg, folks. You know, it used to be that we would have a group of our society. You know, you bring a random selection of your people into a space, and it was good, right? That's why you were proud of your people, because you were moral. You take your shirt off your back for this. You would defend, you know, the do harm to man. You would get rid of that problem and do no harm to man, right? And now, today, it would seem, and the press makes it, the fake press makes it look a lot more lopsided. They make it look like the whole room is full of these, you know, fat, disgusting, low IQ social justice warriors who are just trying to figure out a reason not to fucking commit suicide every morning, who have gone out to attack everyone. That's the substrate, the fabric of society, and the one person that has a moral fiber in it, they're the outcast now. Right? Think about this horseshit with gender identification. A mental illness that is turned into laws in Europe. It's a mental illness. Something went wrong in your head. Really sorry. Let's look down between your legs. Ah, seems you got some beans and franks. Well, you're a dude. I'm really fucking sorry if your uncle did something to you. But you're a dude. Let's work on your identification with yourself. Now, what do we do now? What do we do now? We're discussing getting rid of boy and girl designations. Men and women designations. Because there's one fucking person in the crowd, one goddamn person per million or whatever, that's got a mental illness. They've been abused. They don't identify with what they're physically proven to be. And now that you literally have these pedophiles stuck in government at the top fucking levels, right, who literally pass the laws trying to make it okay for a grown man to go in the bathroom with your daughter. You know, I was a single dad of a little girl, and so I had the challenge of every time my kid had to go to the restroom in a public place, I had to take her to the men's restroom, go into a stall, and, you know, protect her and that kind of stuff. And then as she got older, and of course, if I had a girlfriend with me at the time, she could take her to the female bathroom. But I can't imagine, you know, there's this point where you let your kid go to the bathroom by themselves and you're still really nervous. You know, usually your kid's pretty old by that time. But think about it. How old does your daughter have to be? And depending on your genetics of your family, if you have a petite family, your daughters could be petite. Your daughter could be below 5 feet tall and petite, meaning proportionally small. And here's this fucking weirdo in there. Hairy as can be, yanking down his fucking panties, taking a piss. I don't know if you know, ladies, but, and this is no categorization or generalization, but a lot of guys start undoing their junk before they get to the toilet. You don't see that as often as you used to see it, but goddamn, I used to be in a bathroom and these fucking guys walk in the door and they got their junk hanging out 10 feet before they get to the urinal. It's like, where the fuck do you think you are, man? I'm sure those that go into the ladies' room are slightly more feminine, but, you know, someone who thinks that they're completely a female, they're going to behave just like a female, no problem. And that's not who I'm concerned about. It's a guy that's ganking the system because he's a fucking pedophile. And because the laws might say at some point in the future that this goddamn guy can just simply say he's a female in his fucking brain, he can go and do whatever the fuck he wants. Hey, maybe he sits at a public place and he constantly goes in the bathroom every single time a little girl goes to the bathroom. He's just stalking the joint. He doesn't just have to take a leak when he gets off the plane and then go down and chase his bag at, you know, baggage claim. It's not a one-off. Guy's a pedophile. He's a predator. And the defense of that is that people actually don't feel any of this because, of course, they're normal. And when they feel sorry for someone who's mentally ill, they try to create these gift programs in the form of laws to make them feel better. Never talk about any therapy. The Black Pigeon guy, he did a whole series on this gender identification thing. And he revealed a bunch of tests and laboratory experiments and drugs that have been created in Europe, including citing the actual studies, the doctors, and the dosage, and the chemical itself, where you can give someone a pill or a shot, an injection, and they go completely back to normal. Really amazing. And as soon as you take them off the drug, a couple weeks later, they flip back. There's some deficiency in their body from a mineral standpoint. Trippy, right? So what do we do about these people? I think that's at the crux of the question. I think that's why you want me to speak my piece about it. Can't even imagine anyone wanting to hear my opinion on this, but here we go. It's really just super simple, and I would encourage you to repeat this. We are in a moral dilemma in this country. Sorry, in this world. Pardon me. We have allowed the few, the very, very few, that seem to be commanding the narrative through fake media, right? Fake media is a mouthpiece for these people, right? You want to watch CNN. I want you to think about a pedophile telling CNN what to say. And the pedophiles within CNN are willing to repeat it. Same with Fox. Same with all of these motherfuckers. Reuters. AP. It's not everything that they say. It's just enough. Hollywood wants to get things financed. Well, things in Hollywood cost a lot of money. From time to time, episodes and shows get greenlit that have these elements in there, these moral eroding themes in their shows. Like I said, Rome, when I saw it, it's a great show. I liked it. However, it has pedophilia in it. Suggestions of it. Oversexed population. And I don't give a shit if it is so, you know, historically accurate as to what occurred. It's not stopped and analyzed as crazy. There was a scene where one of the soldiers went into a brothel, and again, he's brought out a bunch of females and a couple of young males, right? And, you know, what they could have done is played the story where the soldier beats the shit out of the madam or whatever for offering a child. And he could have freed the child and said, if I ever see any kids in here again, you're dead. That would have been a good twist. But no, it's just put up there as completely normal. It's a tiny little scene in the whole series of things, but they got it in, right? So how do you protest such a thing? It's tough, right? If you don't watch it, someone else will, is sort of how it works, right? You think, well, they're still going to make their money because most people aren't aware of this kind of thing. Well, there you go. You can make people aware of these kind of things. Anytime a child is being scared inside of a movie or television show, that's where the hair on the back of your neck should rise up, because someone has written this down on a piece of paper as a script. Someone has read that script and thought it would be a great idea to portray in a fictional sense children being essentially tortured by being scared. I get the willies anytime I see a scene in a movie or a television show where I know it's fictional, I know what these sets look like, but the child's being dragged through a fictional situation And the characters, the adults around them are screaming and yelling, and the child really doesn't have any clue because they're like 1 year old. They have no clue. Now, there probably are techniques to film things like The Shining and have the little boy in The Shining be compartmentalized enough that he's really unaware of quite what's going on. You know, there's no theme music going on in the shot, most likely. And so they can kind of goof around with him as to what's going on that's bad. The little boy in Close Encounters, I don't think ever knew he was in any peril. You know, they had a clown on set to make him laugh and all kinds of stuff. So maybe there's ways of sneaking it in there. But Stranger Things, right? Stranger Things had a little girl that was tortured in an MKUltra program. And instead of us being appalled, we were interested. Those are the little themes, people, of how it erodes our normal reaction of who would make such a thing. One of my personal checksums, or litmus tests, I should say, is whatever I'm watching today, would it be permissible in, say, 1954, just before rock and roll truly blew up in the mainstream? Would it have been permissible? And if I come back with the answer no, then I've got questions. I think marriages are being broken up, and I think relationships are being broken up by obsessions on sex, because online has infinite amounts of it, and television shows work at it, you know, to make a male feel like he doesn't have what he needs at home, and a female believing that she doesn't have what she needs at home. And so everyone's mind wanders, right? And probably 9 times out of a 10, out of maybe even 900,000 out of a million or whatever, same odds, but, you know, maybe it's much smaller, but maybe most people stick within their age bracket and go out and do what they do. But think about, you know, there's this big talk online for probably the last 5 to 10 years about the cougars of the world. And supposedly Orange County's packed with them. Women in their 40s and 50s chasing around men in their late teens, early 20s. Providing money from divorce settlements and stuff. Maybe even just, you know, they're still married. And there's this cross-pollination between old and young. And it's cool, right? Because they've made the woman feel bad for being older. She can be young again by chasing young men. And of course, men have been doing it for years. It's called the trophy wife. It's called the secretary. It's called the mistress. We've been doing it a hell of a lot longer. We keep looking the other way. Either because it's too appalling to look in the direction of those who do what they do. Or we shrug it off and we say, well, that's not me. You know, I don't have any identification with that behavior, you know. But sometimes it happens right in front of our face and we don't pick up on it, right? The movie Juno. The girl gets pregnant in high school. And has to deal with it. Now, obviously, that happens. And it's obviously not the way that anyone wants a girl to have her first child. It's not that it doesn't work out and the kid's fine. But it became this real pop culture sensation from a bunch of girls who have never had sex before. You know, my kid was really young and watched that movie, and she was like, oh, I really like that movie. And I'm sitting there going, Jesus Christ, my kid hasn't, you know, been with a boy yet. And this is basically saying, hey, if you get knocked up, it's going to be totally fine. So I had to step in as a parent and educate. And again, Sims 2 really helped my kid figure out what happens when you do that really young. It's very tough. But the question is, what do we do about it? Okay. Well, one, I think you have to regulate, if you have children especially, you have to regulate what they see. You do have to get involved. This bullshit that we don't care anymore about what our kids see, and our kids aren't going to grow up all sheltered like we were, that is not smart, okay? If you're too busy as a parent to pay attention, we're going to have to find some alternate means to censor their stuff. And without them knowing it, You know, don't just flip on Walking Dead in the middle of the afternoon with your kid in the house, right? Don't just flip on shows like Rome, very mature, dramatic things where they can see stuff. I mean, Rome had full frontal nudity of everything you could possibly imagine, making guys go crazy, making girls go crazy. And it's just a cheap trick to make people want to see the show. But more subdermal, we are going to have to watch ourselves, right? Nobody really wants to talk about their sexuality, you know, with anyone else. It's a very private matter. And I will just say that, you know, it all comes down to getting your rocks off, right? No one wants to say that, but that's what it is, right? Whatever makes you orgasm. Okay. Well, if you were just to parse an orgasm that you have, you can convert it into symbols of what's really going on, what we call in Hollywood, themes, right? There's maybe a deep love theme if you're a female when you watch something that's pornographic. And then maybe there's a taboo theme in there. Well, this is taboo. This shouldn't be happening. This is the neighbor's wife or whatever, right? And then it just keeps going. And there's probably different levels of taboo. So I'm just going to say, if you were to take any theme of your mind and turn it into a highway and simply say that you are at mile marker 1, which is taboo level 1, and you keep traveling down that, it's not going to stay taboo level 1. The mile marker is going to come in at mile marker 2 and 3 and 4, and it goes, it would seem, to an infinite level. And eventually you're going to be down there with those eyes wide shut fuckers, you know, with shaky hands waiting for the goblet to come to your mouth. And hell, maybe you start out with squirrel's blood and then you transition up to human blood. Who knows? Maybe you run off and join a Church of Satan. You know, there's a lot of, someone was telling me, oh, well, Church of Satan doesn't sanction pedophilia. Okay. Like they're going to fucking say that in the little plaque on the wall when you walk in the door. No, but they do sanction, do whatever the fuck you want, and don't worry about how it hurts anyone else. I've seen them in interviews. I've seen people who represent the church in interviews. And they'll talk about pedophilia, and the people say, oh, no, we don't sanction that. And then they turn around and ask them about, well, don't you believe that your members can do whatever they want? You don't worry about hurting anyone else? It's the survival of the fittest. And preying on a child as if they have any chance is not in that algorithm. People usually convert to religions if it suits their means, right? There are certain religions that frown on usury, or at least they used to frown on usury, which is compound interest, basically. It used to be more blasphemous than denying God existed, and that's pretty blasphemous, right, in the eyes of the church. But some people wanted to be millionaires, and they didn't want a church that made them feel guilty for being a millionaire and for hoarding money, and so they convert to a particular religion that basically makes it okay. I've had people who converted to that religion brag about it at a party because they weren't genetically involved with that religion, but they said, oh, I've converted this religion because there's no guilt about being rich. Ha 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 ha. We have to make deviant behavior stick out like a sore thumb. We do. Do we need a McCarthyism, 3.0, where it's all about you got a nudie magazine at home, and so you go to prison for the rest of your life, or in China where they kill you if you're caught with porn or caught making porn? Can you stop, or can I stop, the flow of perverted content coming out of Hollywood and television? I don't know. I would fear today that if you were to turn in a Wizard of Oz quality film today, some amazing, beautiful adventure that teaches morals and teaches, you know, really right from wrong and what evil looks like in the form of a witch that's green, I feel like they would figure out a way to litter it with the pedophilia that was in, Rome. And I think that, Zoolander 2, what an elite party that movie was, right? That was eyes wide shut comedy with our friend Neil deGrasse Tyson in it, right? And Katy Perry. the music industry, it's been turned into this thing where it's all oddities, isn't it? Right? If you are an absolute deviant, right? It's always been a rebellious industry after the rock and roll industry came around, but, you know, Elvis shaking his hips, right? I don't think any little girl thought about, you know, lunging penetration just because he was shaking his hips, for Christ's sake. I don't think the Beatles, you know, did anything to make anyone a deviant until they had the album cover with all the chopped up babies and all their entrails all over their lab coats. Go look that one up. Go look up Beatles dead baby album cover in Google. It was an album cover they released for 2 weeks and it got yanked. And then go look up Rothschild 1973 party, birthday party. See where that came from. But today it's all about take these immoral agendas, put them into lyrics, defend them as if there's some fucking, you know, constitution or declaration of rights for human beings, and then plaster them all over, you know, TMZ, and TMZ will demonize anyone who's got a fucking moral fiber in them and sensationalize everyone who's deviant. And then the Super Bowl comes around and the most deviant fuckers half the time get the Super Bowl, you know, halftime. And then you get all these text messages from people, did you see their halftime? It was so great. Well, why was it great? Well, they had a bunch of lights. The lights were great. Oh, well, did you check out the, you know, elite symbology that was in the fucking Katy Perry thing? God damn. Your Lady Gaga. That chick has been caught at parties with spirit cooking symbology. People pretending to be dead in a coffin full of chocolate, which is the representation of their blood, and she's up there eating a spoon and posing for a photograph. Yeah, she's a real hero for humanity, right? We have to body slam these fuckers out of our lives. This isn't cool, folks. You know, the whole mantra of at least America is you can do whatever you want in your own home as long as you don't hurt anyone. You can hurt yourself. And we'll pretty much look the other way. You can cut yourself. You can commit suicide if you're there. And yeah, we'd wish better for you, but hey, it's your life. But within your own home, if you're touching your kids or your married spouse's kids, nobody's cool with that. Sadly, these kids are in prisons and these families all over the world, right? Most of you have seen an episode of Leave It to Beaver in your lifetime, or The Brady Bunch, or Partridge Family, or whatever. But there was a climate back in the 50s that I personally know about because of the tales I've heard in my hometown for years and years. But everyone knew everyone. Everyone knew everyone, and if your kid never came out of the house, they would start asking questions as to where your child was. If your kid came out of the house not smiling and looking weird and reclusive and had bruises or something, they figured that shit out fast. They would literally ask the child, what's going on? And today, I mean, I'm fortunate. I'm in a neighborhood where the kids all hang out outside. They would much rather be outside, jumping their ramps with their skateboards and riding rails, playing basketball, driving motorcycles, than they would ever be inside playing a PlayStation. I don't even know if a PlayStation exists on this block except for the parents that are home playing it, right? But if I didn't see the kids in the neighborhood for a week, I would either assume they're out on vacation together, which they do, or something's wrong. It's winter or something, right? But hell, even winter doesn't stop these kids. We don't get to know our neighbors, right? We don't. I lived in the Bay Area for 12 years. I knew three neighbors, right? And all three of them were from out of state. And we're all sitting around going, what the hell's wrong with these Bay Area people? They don't want to get to know anybody. I'm not suggesting any disproportional perversion up there, but San Francisco does some things I don't think most towns in America do. We have a bunch of broken people in America right now. A bunch. And I think visibly, we have a bunch of broken people in Europe. They don't have any purpose in their own lives, and so they're latching on to George Soros' banners. He just wants chaos. He is from the Red House of Chaos. That guy wants complete and utter fucking destruction of humanity. But there's a lot of people like him that you don't know, that I don't know. Nameless people that protect these folks. So I'll say this. If you're in the intelligence industry and you're catching this video and maybe you're doing surveillance, listen to it. You could change the whole world, man. We've got a guy that turned in 47 hard drives to the White House showing surveillance on Donald Trump and a bunch of other people. Believe me, they can punch into any camera, any microphone in the world, any computer camera, and watch your house. Watch what you're doing. They can find all these deviants. They can punch into any hard drive, any storage device. They can see every single text message, email, every single piece of data that's traveling in this planet. They've got it in a database, and they can find it. They could write algorithms in seconds that would latch together all of these Pizzagate terms, right? The AI graduates data up to human review levels, right? So it finds patterns and brings it to the human's attention. And then the human can review it to find these people. It is my hope that as a person gets perverted, even they reach a limit, right? They reach a limit where it's a diminishing return, just like a drug. They take as much coke as they can stuff into their nose and nothing happens. It's like Robert Downey Jr. said when he smoked the first cigarette laced with heroin. He says, you find the dragon, you chase the dragon, you ride the dragon for the first hit, and then you'll never see him again. But you'll go after it at all costs. You'll try to do it again and again. I'm hoping that there's a few brave souls out there who have been involved with this that are simply saying, I don't like who I am anymore. When I look in the mirror, I'm ashamed to be who I am. And instead of taking themselves out, killing themselves, that if nothing else, before they do that, they tell us where to find all their friends. They tell us some piece of information that will expose this inner thing. And they tell it in a way that can't be, you know, go to Alex Jones's studios and say it, you know, do something where it can get out there and never, you know, it doesn't get destroyed. And then obviously there's going to be a lot of folks that are going to try to stop it from happening. David Cameron, isn't he the prime minister, the former prime minister of England before Brexit kicked him out? I sometimes say James, and I got to change that. He has nothing to do with this, as far as I know. But, you know, they've protected these folks, these Jimmy Savils. At some point, it has to become what we're looking for. It has to be the pattern in the radar of what we are trying to find. I believe it is very real. It's proven to be real. But no one wants to deal with it. The more you're a good person, like I said in my waking up episode, it's in a spectrum of belief, it's a spectrum of truth, I should say, that is so painful to process that we're just hoping that someone else takes care of it. And every time we take that attitude, we allow them to go another round. We allow another child to get messed with, you know? There's a very encouraging trend here in Los Angeles, and it's actually across the entire United States, but there's a bunch of bikers, and a friend of mine is deeply involved with this movement. There's a bunch of bikers out there that help children who have been molested. And the bikers protect these kids. And what happens is when the kid goes to court, they're terrified to testify against the adult. And so what happens is as soon as the child is identified, the bikers swoop in with obviously lots of permission from everyone around the child, and they make that child feel safe. And they see, you see all these tough guys, and there's some big motherfuckers in this gang. They say, we will take care of anyone who touches you for the rest of your life. And when you grow older, you can become one of us if you want to. And a lot of them have been these kids, right? But they also sit in court with the kid. They fill up the whole courtroom with leather jackets. They park all our Harleys out front, and they just sit there and they cross their arms, and they say, "Kid, say what you got to say, because you don't have to worry about anything." I can't think of a better metaphor, a better technique than that technique for all the kids that actually have a lot of the answers as to what occurred in their life. You don't have to have leather. You don't have to have a Harley Davidson, although it helps. But you can make a kid feel really safe to protect themselves, right? Let's think about that technique. In the comments, throw whatever you got, right? Now, as of yesterday, of this particular recording, I'm migrating the Facebook page to a closed Facebook group, because Facebook, for whatever reason, keeps throwing me all these members that aren't real people, or they're people that obviously don't watch the show. They never comment on any post that's there. I think probably 2/3 of the members of the Facebook page don't speak English as a native language, or they're minors. They're below 18. There's a bunch of young girls. And just coincidentally, I'm doing this video today. So I am creating a Facebook group. Eventually, a Facebook page will be deleted. So if you're watching a bunch of old episodes, listening to the bumper, and you're looking for the page, just go to deepthoughtsradio.com, click the Facebook icon on the front, and it'll send you to the group, not the page. You'll have to apply for the group. What I'm going to do is, if I recognize you from the Facebook page, you're in. If I don't recognize you, I'm going to click on your profile. I'm going to look through it. I'm going to see if you have any activity recently. You're going to have quite a bit of activity going back at least a year before you're going to be allowed in. Because I don't want to have one of these situations where, you know, this show gets connected with folks that have nothing to do with us. So there you go. If you made it this far, thanks for listening. Hope you felt me on this one. Let's do what we can. Let's just work in the comments section to try to figure out the best strategies. I know you guys have got a lot of amazing stories where things got solved. If you find a solution that's worked for one person, my suggestion is to genericize that methodology such that everyone can use it. Right? Right now, the world is being run by these people. We have a couple politicians I think we can trust now in America, probably way more than a few. But if you were an intelligence agent ever contemplating blowing a whistle, this might be the most powerful thing you can do. But you're going to have to watch your ass, get your information distributed. Hell, be an anonymous distributor. You know, there's a lot of that going on right now. How do you think Julian Assange gets all of his emails from places? But I'm telling you, we need more than just text emails that can be forged. We need video evidence, right? Anonymous put out this big... Well, I should say this. Anonymous was accused of putting out the Lolita Island videos of Bill Clinton doing what he did at Lolita Island, having sex with underage girls. Of course, they accused Trump of it because that's how the Clinton administration works. But of course, all of his accusers dismissed their cases with no collection. In fact, one woman said that she was paid $500,000 to accuse Donald Trump of a rape. It's just sickening. It's the other guys, folks. They'll be duped. I don't know what we do about these, you know, few million social justice warriors that are absolutely broken human beings. You know, it's not a sustainable model, which is nice. So they can't continue not having a job and running off to, you know, political events being, you know, obese shit starters. Maybe we just ignore them for now. I don't know. Europe. Man, you guys all got to get out of the European Union. Otherwise, you're going to be Huxley's third act. And it's not going to be fun for you or your children, especially for your children. I know I'm preaching to the choir. Anyhow, I think that's all I got. It's on podcast. If you are coming through video, it's on video. If you're coming through podcast, just go to deepthoughtsradio.com. All the feeds are there. Take care of yourself and someone else, and I'll see you in the next Deep Thoughts. Over now.